Welcome to the F-Stops Here podcast, hosted by The Portrait Paradigm. If you're a photographer who is striving to build a high-end portrait business that is not only financially rewarding, but satisfies your creative heart, then join five nationally recognized photographers with over 180 years of combined experience building and maintaining successful specialty portrait businesses. This is where we will have real conversations about all the elements to create your own upscale business. From marketing, finances, mindset, photographic style, client experience, and so much more. So together, let's cut through the noise and make this your one stop for your complete portrait photography solution. Let's build your new portrait paradigm right now. Welcome everyone to today's podcast. Today we're going to talk about discounting and how that can affect your business and your brand. Who'd like to start on this fun topic?
Bev, take it away.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, I remember at a meeting that we were all sharing ideas about getting more business, and somebody was standing up and had mentioned Groupons, and somebody sitting beside me kicked me in the leg and whispered, "Don't do that. You will blast your reputation all to pieces." And I'm like, okay, man. So I think what we've learned over the years is that if you discount, you set a precedent. And the precedent comes back and bites you in the end. Because once you discount something, then that's an expectation. And then they share with their neighbors and friends that expectation. And it does a lot of other things in the background. It's kind of like a program running in the background of your studio that it starts affecting your brand integrity, because all of a sudden, are you really worth such and such amount because you discounted it for so-and-so? And it devalues who you are as a studio, as a business. It can damage your reputation, and you have to keep repeating it, not only for that client, but for whoever they share it with. You don't know who they're sharing it with. I mean, their neighbors or their friends. And our circle of clients all know each other. I don't know if you guys kind of face that.
Yeah.
They're in the same junior league. They're in the same, their kids go to the same expensive private schools. Mm-hmm. And when they share, that's why we have to be really careful that everything we do, we have to realize that it's going to have a ripple effect with whoever they share it with. And so we decided that instead of discounting, why don't we add value? You know, Professional Photographers of America, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I mean, okay. When I was on the board, that was always our goal, was mm-hmm. add more value.
They added like what, equipment insurance?
Yeah, there was a lot of things at that time. I mean, it was a lot. And I think the other thing I want to add to what you're saying is, you talk about discounting, that assumes that, you know, it's not worth the money you're charging. And correct. For us, it's worth every penny that we charge, because we want to make sure that we do things that at almost a ridiculous level for our clients, and they don't always know it, but it's the finite finessing that goes into an image. And the minute you start discounting, you start guarding the very things that are creating gaps and separating you from the masses. We did podcasts on, you know, on defining yourself and you know, rising above the masses. Part of doing that are little things. I don't remember the exact quote, but there was a quote, I think, by Van Gogh that talked about, and just in a nutshell, that the difference between good artists and great artists are little things, not big ones. And so I think there's ton of photographers out there that do the big things really well, but there's only a handful that mix in the little things and finesse that art to the next level. That's part of what people are paying for. We don't want restrictions on the back end. I don't want to pick cheaper papers. I don't want to go with cheaper artwork and retouching. I don't want to start cutting corners. I want to give people what they pay for plus a little more. Mm-hmm. So no matter what we charge for a piece of art, I know in my heart that it's worth every penny that we're charging. And at times it's worth more than that, because we're doing things maybe we didn't expect to do. but I'm not going to deliver something with our name on it. So, you know, so value can be a lot of visual things, but value also are the subtle things that come together. Plus, the other thing I would add, you know, Beverly's talking about discounts and all, is that a lot of that can play into the motivation of why people choose you. And when you start discounting and they choose you for price and location, that's what we call a backdoor client. They're coming in the wrong way. And we all know that if you're to sum up a lot of things, and I know we'll dig deep into sales at some point, but I always say the sales success starts with the right two people in the seats, right? The right person on the sales side and the right client. So you start discounting and cutting prices. And then you're saying, well, my sales are terrible. And well, you got the wrong people across the table from you. And you got them because you're discounting and you're doing all these things to hinder your brand. So there's just more than what meets the surface, of our thought. And we just need to think this out and do the things that elevate our art, not the things that cause it to be cheaper so we can get more people through the door and then have the headaches that go with it.
And one more thing, when we had a marketing director, she said, I'll never forget, she said this. She said, do you remember the field of dreams? Like if you build it, they will come.
Sure.
She said, if you discount it, they will come to expect discounts. And so like she said, that was 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. And I've just never forgotten it.
Yeah.
I've made all the mistakes too. So many. It takes years to recover from this, you reach a point where you're desperate. It's February and you have no money in the bank account. So you're like, I just could get some warm bodies in the door. So we've done things like little models and, significantly discounted everything just to have warm bodies coming through the door. And it took me years to recover from that because that's what people came to expect. They just waited for that next discount to come around and only do that with us, And so, I think I've heard that saying before too, is like that, you're attracting those clients and they're going to go get more of them for you. So great. we were busy, but I wasn't making any money. So
you teach people how to treat you, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's when good. You start doing discounting like that, then that's what they start to expect. It's like Bed Bath and Beyond. I'll never pay full price for anything in Bed Bath and Beyond because I know there's always a 20% coupon or discount. But then it also makes me like in the mornings, you like for us on our local TV station, the local commercials, it's always like Anderson Windows and they're always giving $500 off. And so my first thing is like, okay, well, how overpriced are they that they can give $500 off, And then I think, well, like you said, Bev, are they desperate? And maybe I'm speaking from personal experience because I know that we've made our worst decisions when we're short on cash. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the challenge, is to keep the long-term brand and business in mind when you're going through a short-term cash problem, because we made that mistake and it cost us dearly. And it took us years to recover from that because we got so desperate in 2008 in the recession. And then I hurt my back and I was out. Most of you guys already know that story, but we started doing everything. We were doing Santas, we were doing preschool, we were doing mini sessions. We just did so many things and none of them were full price. None of them were at our value. And so it took years to undo that, that perception in our community that we were actually worth more. And so I would just encourage people to really try and think about how you can make, like you said, Bev, make what you're doing more valuable instead of trying to discount the price.
I really thought this podcast was about telling everything and telling the truth and telling the whole story. And you're going all around what our biggest mistake was.
Not intentionally. I mean, there's so many mistakes.
No, oh, we want it. Let's hear it.
Okay.
What is it?
I'm very transparent.
It's too.
Like if you hear cut.
It was when we did Groupon.
Oh, for the love. I think I blocked it out of my memory.
You know, and when Groupon first started, it was hot thing. You know, the dude was offered, I don't know exactly, but he was offered $1 billion or something like that to sell the company, and he refused, you know. So, and you had to apply to be part of Groupon.
You had to
and
apply they would, to whore out your business for a discount.
You yes. had to apply because so many businesses were doing it, and they were like basically interviewing you.
Yeah.
So we, you know, kind of shined ourselves up and did all this. To apply, but you know, we didn't do it blindly. You know, one of all of our best friends, Drake Busseth in Salt Lake City, they did Groupon and they had okay success. So we did research, we talked to people in our industry that did it and how they did it and what the response was. We didn't know it, we knew it was going to be like our normal quote unquote client, but you know, we did research, we didn't go into it blindly, we tried to be thoughtful. You know, and we sold what 100 and
so we sold. This is the funniest part of the Groupon story is that if anybody,
there's nothing else is funny about
any,
it.
Anybody who knows me knows that I'm nothing if not competitive. And so we, you know, we it went live. We were flying that day. I don't remember where we were flying, but it was to some convention or some speaking thing. And so I kept calling the office and, you know, we're at this number. And Groupon was checking in. They're like, oh my God, this is the most we've ever sold on a photographer or whatever. And it was crazy. And so at one point, the clock is winding down. Our 24 hours is almost up and we're at 99. And so I'm like, by God, we are going to get to 100 and we're not getting to 100. We're not getting to 100. So I bought the 100th one just to say we had 100. I paid $99 so that we could say we had 100.
Yeah, she did. There
went all your profit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it was like, what? And when I look back at that, I'm like, oh man, that was horrible. And you know, those were the clients that I have to be careful in how I say this, but they became the most problematic clients, the most labor intensive clients, because in their mind, they were expecting the Sigmund Taylor experience, but at this deep, deep, deep discount. And we were coming at it like, we're going to give a little less because we're doing it for so much less. So it's not going to be the full experience. And we really mismanaged the expectation.
But the thing is, you know, we were approaching it that, you know, this was going to be like entry level. We're going to get people involved, get them into our family. We say less experience, but we did consultations. We had in-person consultations. We did clothing consultations. We did that whole thing for all of these. And you know what? The worst thing is almost everybody redeemed their certificate.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody.
Oh my God. And nobody bought anything more.
We probably did 95, 96 sessions. Something.
Well, I mean, I bought one of them, so we didn't do that.
How much did you spend after that?
That is why I said we did 95 or 96. And out of all that, I think our total sales out of all that was $3,700.
Like, come on.
Of everything. Because the people in this town that were frugal, they were determined not to spend a penny else. So they fought to not do that. And I mean, $3,700 was our total sales. Can you imagine the thousands of hours, you know, that we put in? And she's getting a little grumpier and grumpier.
Yeah. And it really beyond just, again, like teaching our clients how to treat us, it, you know, setting that precedent, I think we really damaged a lot of our, we damaged our reputation in many ways, because I was getting grumpy and I wasn't giving the level of service that I would to somebody who had paid full price. I think it just, I think that's natural. I try not to beat myself. Thanks for bringing all this up. Jeez.
So, you know, the thing is, I think it's value, you know, it is valuable. You know, it's a little fun. It's a little funny now. Well, maybe in a few decades it'll be funny, but I mean, you know, but you know, it's such a great lesson, because it really is really set the course for us over these last few years.
It took us years to unravel that.
It took us years to unravel, but we knew what we didn't want to do.
I think it was
anymore.
2009 or 10 or something.
Well, it was, because it was right after 2008.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it really gave us a huge painful lesson of what not to do.
Don't buy your own thing.
Yeah.
Don't have a thing to buy. Yeah, that's right.
You know, but what not to do, but what's the right thing to do. So right. It certainly makes it easier for us to do, to stay on course.
It helps you define your brand. Yeah, it did.
So. Have you all experienced, like in another lifetime when we used to do weddings, we found that the higher we set our rate, the less complainers we got.
Yes.
I think it's true in the portrait business too. Like there is there's like an invisible price line that above it, people love you no matter what you do. And below it, they complain about everything you do.
People change.
Yeah.
I think you're totally right. And that's what I was trying to ineffectively, I wasn't saying it the right way, but those were the problematic.
But yeah. You learned a lot. I mean, on the serious side of it, it really, not only, I mean, you could say, yeah, I learned not to do Groupons, but I think it goes way beyond that. I think you were forced to define your brand at the next level and to say, where do I want to be in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years down the road? And actually, I think things like that, as hard as they are and as funny in hindsight, sometimes as they either are or aren't, they can help you get on course. And you can say, okay, you know, everything that's shiny, a shiny object isn't always what I want. And I think, you know, from a coaching vantage point, we all do coaching. This is one of the hardest topics, because people like, I need, and like Rado said, you know, February hits and they're like, I need people through the door, but they don't want to, I don't want to put this squarely on their shoulders, but I think being more proactive is you want to say, how do I change this over a season? I'm not talking about a season like winter, summer. I'm talking about a season in your business. So you're like, okay, I know February is going to come. I know these things are going to happen. So you create a marketing plan. You begin to get aggressive without getting deep in discounts. You can still be aggressive in your marketing. You can be creative. I think there's creativity in marketing. I think there's ways to generate income. It may not be as easy, but you're also not looking for 100 people to walk through the door, right? You're looking for one or two in those months, you know, because you're more high-end studio. So I think things like that can really come back to serve you well, as long as you use it as kind of a lesson learned. And now here's where I head because of that. So people who maybe they've done that because they feel like they needed to or whatever, I would say, don't get discouraged, get educated, get better. And then find those ways to kind of walk yourself into a more successful brand. And it always is intentional, though. That's the thing about really successful brands. There are a number of things, but one thing they always are is intentional. You're not accidentally successful by just coming in doing different things every day and say, oh, well, maybe I'll trip upon success. I guess maybe there's one or two in the world and you're like, oh, I could do that. But that's not reality. Success comes in a very intentional manner, and intention comes from education. So you're like, okay, I learned this. I want to head this way. So.
Well, I think it's good for people. Rod's
like, and how do you follow that?
I know.
I'm like, can you say that again so I can frame that over my desk, please?
But you know, and the great thing for anyone that's listened to this podcast, because I think a lot of times when we look at speakers or people that are teaching or, you know, whatever, you kind of look at them and go, you know, they don't know what my situation is. We all know what your situation is. because we've been in your situation, you know, and every one of us, you know, like you said, we should do a podcast on disasters, you know, besides Groupon. And, you know, it's a hard-earned lesson, isn't it? You know,
yeah, it's tough.
The question is, was it a lesson?
I've done them all. I've done, you know, when you're desperate, you do things. So, and busy doesn't equal profit either. You know, just because it's Amen. Things are happening and the phone's ringing and it's crazy doesn't mean you're profitable. It took me a while to figure that out. We used to do like bunnies and chicks. So we would buy, or we would rent bunnies and then buy chickens, baby chickens, and come in the mail, go to the post
office,
pick
them up.
Yeah. What? They hold them at the post office for you. You go pick them up at the post office in a little box.
Do they have a stamp on their back?
Yeah. It is weird. So you can only get like 24 at a time. So I got 24 baby chickens in my house in a one of those plastic swimming pools, trying to take care of them.
Oh my gosh.
And then have them take pictures with the bunnies and the chicks and the kids running around and the babies and the chicks and the bunnies scratching people and the whole thing happening. And oh my gosh, it was crazy. You know,
do you have any video, Roto?
We were busy. People loved it. And we built sets and did the whole thing and whatever. But once the kid, one of the kids picked up a bunny thing and thought it was an M&M, I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
But yeah, busy doesn't equal that. And it took me a long time to educate what I really wanted to do. I mean, that was not what I wanted to do, but I just thought it was something I had to do. You know, it's like, I'm a photographer, so I take pictures of things and whatever, but no, you have to define yourself and your brand, who you are, and then put that out there. If I would have just had one halfway decent session, you know, during that 2 or 3 weeks of crazy bunnies and chicks, there would have been the same amount of profit with about a tenth of the amount of time and effort put into it. So
the thing is,
you're right. There is a way to market that.
And the thing is too, that, because I know that there are listeners right now thinking, well, okay, that's great, but I need to build a portfolio, or I need to get started, or I need to, you know, do some sessions to get people, you know, to, you know, start my relationships or whatever. And that's fine. We're all for artist projects or invitational portraits, which I think will be another episode. But
yeah.
So let's not confuse the two, right? Because right. They're, like you said, Tim, being intentional is the key. And so I'm all for bringing people in and doing a complimentary session because I want a sample, or I want to build something out on the site, on the website or whatever. But when you are just at that point where you're just mass discounting, desperate, I mean, people smell that, you make bad decisions. For me, I personally become very resentful. So I'm not giving the best experience to the client. And again, it all comes back to, like you said, Tim, is it the right person in the seat? You know, is it the right person across from us?
Right.
Go
ahead, Michael.
I'm so sorry. Just real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
For anyone that's listening, if you're thinking we're like not smart people because we have gone down these paths, we all realize that in the photography business and in many businesses, you're going to make money when you're photographing quantity or photographing the masses, or if you're doing a higher end. You're not going to really make money when you're in the middle.
Right.
So that's the death zone. So we all realize if we have some kind of product line that, okay, we're going to bring in quantity, you know, like sports pictures, team pictures, grade school, you know, Santa, something like that, you really can make some great money in this industry. So, you know, there's a business model for that that works very well.
But again, it's intentional.
Right. And you're doing it 100% of the time. Right. And it's actually in our industry, it's probably the most profitable business model. So, but, you know, we're not crazy, but we did things at the wrong time and didn't fit us.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't put the two together.
And for the wrong reason.
Yeah. And I think what I was going to add just to that, about that. No. That was an amazing point. So true. And the people that do that successfully, Michael, are people that love it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other thing. It's not my passion. It's not our passion. We don't,
right.
I respect it, but I don't love it. And so I respect those that do it, but we know people that love doing that. Yeah. I'm saying more power to you, way to go. But what I was going to say is it related to getting these people through the door, like we've been talking about with maybe doing the wrong kind of marketing and all that, is that you find yourself, and again, I've heard this over and over again, is people will say, well, yeah, I was going to do these higher end pieces, or I was going to do, but my customers don't like that. And the bottom line, without being sarcastic, but being just blunt, is you got the wrong customers. Mm-hmm. And it's so true, because then what happens is we draw those people, like you were talking about, Rado and Monica Michael, some of the early things that you were doing, is then those people start saying, well, I would like this. I would want that. And you'll find yourself, because those people are sitting in front of you, shaping your business, because my customers don't want that. Well, the customers you want to accomplish your goals, they haven't come through the door yet. So sometimes you have to look at things from that, what do they call it? That 30,000 feet view, where you back up and you go, okay, the people that are telling me how to do my photography and what to do are the very people that are looking for discounts, and the deep discounts. Then they're going to always share from their perspective. So I think we need to be able to pull ourselves out of our businesses sometime and draw the right people through the door, because you'll never make some of those people the right customers, because that's not their appreciation for photography. I've had people come to the door that don't make a lot of money, and they save it up to buy a beautiful wall portrait. Some of them for a year or more, they're like, I'm saving this money. Yep. And we get people through the door with loads of money that they don't really respect photography sometimes. Just want to, a few 8x10s, but they want your brand name or whatever that is. But it's still not, and there's a lot of variety there. So money doesn't always mean that they're the right customer, but love and appreciation for what you do. And then the money follows that. It's not money first, it's passion first, it's love first, and then the money will follow that. So getting the right people through the door. So be careful as you make judgments that you're making it based on the right criteria and information.
Hey Tim.
Yo.
Do you take PayPal? No, I kind of feel like we should be paying you.
I'm good with that.
I will take it for him. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. We were teaching somewhere. We were doing a program somewhere, and the guy came up and he handed me a check. Was handing me a check for the honorarium, and I said, "Don't give it to her. Don't put it in my hands. It gives me hope." So, I'll never see that. Anyway.
Well, that's awesome.
It gives me hope.
It gives me hope. Yeah.
I can totally relate. Well, I think that's a great place to wrap things up. So this has been a great conversation. I can totally see us doing this again and elaborating on this subject some more and talking about even crazy experiences through all of this. So we have so many. We've all been where you're at. We understand it. We haven't done everything perfectly all along the way, but it's the mistakes that we've made, or we're hoping that you'll learn from those and save you years of heartache and problems. So hopefully this has been helpful for all of you. And from all of us here at the Portrait Paradigm, we appreciate you being here with us. Thank you. We're your Portrait Paradigm team, and we're really here to help you build a portrait business of your dreams. So check out our website, theportraitparadigm.com. We've got free resources and podcast transcripts there. So leave us your comments and questions. We really appreciate it. We're also on Instagram at The Portrait Paradigm. And join us next week, where we'll be sharing more insights on how to build a portrait business of your dreams. Until next time, be ever open to shifting your portrait paradigm.